the Senate Veterans Military Affairs Finance Policy Committee. It is, what day is it? Thursday, March 24th, 8:33 a.m. And if you would join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you for that. Again, we have a fairly full agenda this morning, so we're going to kick it off right away. Senator Miller, I believe, is up first on the agenda. Members, this bill is going to be sent to the Finance Committee. Prior to you getting started, Senator Miller, I believe you have an A1 author's amendment.
I do, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Anderson, would you be willing to make the motion for that amendment?
And Mr. Chairman and members, I'd ask council to please explain the amendment.
Thank you, Senator Miller. Mr. Erickson, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Miller. The amendment makes two corrections to the bill. One is to change the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs to the Commissioner of Administration in a couple of places where the appropriation is directed. This pulls it in line with the previous appropriations for the homes, as well as with your bill that's up later this morning. The second is just a technical change, changing expended to spent, which is the preferred nomenclature by the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Members, any questions about the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Senator Miller, your amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. So to the bill, first, before I explain the bill, I'd like to thank all the veterans who are on the committee, as well as our active members of the military, not only on the committee, but in the legislature in attendance today and watching. Your services very much appreciated. Today, I am happy to bring to you Senate File 4181. This is a bill that helps fulfill the legislature's commitment to further support our veterans with the addition of three veterans homes in Preston, Bemidji, and Montevideo. Through the state's veterans home system, it is not only a duty to provide the highest level of care to those who answered our nation's call, but is an honor. The Minnesota veteran population is aging. There are currently more than 337,000 veterans in the state. But the number of veterans over the age of 75 is expected to increase by approximately 9% over the next 20 years. In the region I represent, 33% of Minnesota veterans live in the 15 counties in southeastern Minnesota, including Fillmore County. This commitment started in 2018 when the Minnesota legislature and Governor Mark Dayton enacted a law that allocated $32 million for three new state veterans homes in Preston, Bemidji, and Montevideo. In late 2018, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Department of Administration finished up a series of community meetings in each of the three regions to review timelines and pre-design to get ready to apply for the matching federal VA grant in 2019. In 2021, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs announced it would be making grants totaling $1 billion to state veterans homes throughout the country, including close to $80 million for the state of Minnesota. Due to the time lapse between the first application and the final award of federal funds, value engineering was completed on the projects to proceed based on the available funding for the projects. Unfortunately, some of the important community priorities for the projects based on a series of community meetings with agencies had to be removed in order to fit within the budget. Today, I'm happy to say that all three projects are underway and have achieved approximately 20% completion. While the projects are still under construction, the time to act for this additional funding is now. Today, I ask for your consideration of this bill to fulfill the commitment for the three new veterans homes, as well as, Mr. Chairman, your bill that will be considered later to fully fund these three veteran homes and fulfill the commitment that we made to our veterans and their families back in 2018. And Mr. Chairman and members, I do have Jason Marquardt with me, who is the Veterans Affairs Coordinator from Fillmore County.
Well, thank you, Senator Miller. Mr. Marquardt.
Mr. Chair, members, Senator Miller. We just want to thank Senator Miller for...
Identify yourself.
Say again, sir.
Identify yourself.
Oh, just state your name. Jason Marquardt, Fillmore County Veteran Service Officer. We just want to thank you all for hearing Senator Miller's bill, Senator Miller, for bringing it forward. These enhancements are really going to help the area. One of the enhancements I've seen that as a, I'm an EMS provider for a small town, and one of the enhancements is actually put a cover over the back area for the ambulance. And when you take a patient out of the nursing home, they get cold real quick. So this is going to help that, especially when we had snow this morning. The other enhancements, they're just going to make it a lot better atmosphere for the veterans in the area.
Thank you, Mr. Marquardt. Members, are there any questions, either the testifiers or Senator Miller? Nothing. Well, the one thing I would say, this is something that I've been wanting since the term valued engineering has become used widely. And I can say that valued engineering is really a fancy way to say we're going to cut some quarters so we can still build our building. You know, one of the things you mentioned, a very specific portion of the project that was cut corner to, mm-hmm. to meet costs. And I, you know, the one thing that always irritated me is we were going to go away from a steel roof to something that to shingles, and we had to replace those shingles every 25, 30 years. And I thought, you know, if we can't get this done now, we're going to have an issue. So, Senator Miller, I appreciate the bill this morning. I hope that we can get this done. Senator Anderson, you'd like to make the motion?
We recommended to pass as amended and sent to the Committee on Finance.
Members, Senator Anderson has moved that Senate File 4181 as amended as we recommended pass, move to the Senate Finance Committee. All those members in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. Senator Miller, you're on your way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your ongoing commitment to getting this done too. I know you've been instrumental along with many other members to get this done for a veteran. So thank you everyone very much. Appreciate it.
Members, next on the agenda, I saw Senator Franzen coming in. Senator, good morning. Yeah, the power lineup this morning in the Veterans Committee.
I see that. Thank you very much, Mr.
Morning.
Chair. Good morning. It's a pleasure and honor to be here in front of this committee. And I've had pleasure of doing some bills for veterans in the past, especially my freshman year. And I'm very grateful for the veterans here in the committee who've served in the past for our country. And certainly this bill is part of that commitment to veterans. It's Senate File 2933, and it's a straightforward appropriations bill that includes a appropriation of $465,000 for fiscal year 2023-24, and the funds will go to the Metro Meals on Wheels organization and be used to provide and deliver meals to the homes of veterans in the metro area. This bill is supported by the Department of Veterans Affairs, who believe it is very beneficial to veterans, and this delivers a model they use already that works for the recipients and has been especially important in the high demand due to the pandemic. And when I met with the organization, they actually talk about it's more than just food. It's the connection, the touch point with, yes, and we do have an amendment. I apologize. So it's an important bill because it is has been a lifeline to many families and veterans in our state, in our country. So like I mentioned, it has some social extra social interactions and check-ins that will help the Department of Veterans Affairs with their suicide prevention initiative. So it's an all-around bill. It's an all-around great bill that will benefit Minnesotans directly. And I ask for your support. And I do have an A1 amendment and a testifier, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, Senator. Members, Senator Lopez-Franzen has the A1 amendment. It looks like they are just going to be deleting the phrase fundraising from line 8. Members, all those in favor of the... Senator Duckworth, you'd like to move the A1 amendment? Senator Duckworth moves that the A1 amendment be adopted. All those members in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Amendment is adopted. So, Senator Franzen, you have the 2933 as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have one testifier, Patrick Rowan, who's the executive director of Metro Meals on Wheels, and I believe he's virtual.
Mr. Rowan, are you with us?
Yes, Chair Lang, I'm here. Thank you for your time this morning, members of the committee. My name is Patrick Rowan. I'm the executive director at Metro Meals on Wheels. I have with me my colleague, Dave Colling, the partnership manager at Meals on Wheels too, if we have any questions. I did provide written testimony, feeling a little under the weather today, so I'll keep it brief. But I just wanna say we're really excited about this potential partnership. It's, as Senator Franzen mentioned, it's part of a larger initiative to do outreach in the community to veterans, relieving social isolation, improving healthcare outcomes, and really striving to reduce to suicide prevention initiative. So we're just super excited to be partnering with the Veterans Affairs on that. Meals on Wheels at its core is neighbors helping neighbors. One aspect of this partnership is recruiting veterans to be volunteer delivery drivers as well. So this will transform the project into veterans helping veterans. And, you know, just that small interaction each day is so meaningful to the people that we serve. We have reports that over 40% of the people that we work with, their Meals on Wheels volunteer is the only person that they see in a day. So you can imagine the impact that has, and then having a fellow veteran be the person that delivers that meal is just going to be really impactful. We've, over the past year and a half, we've distributed over $3 million in CARES Act funding to help support nutrition and social isolation initiatives in the Twin Cities. So this appropriation is well within our capacity. And with this appropriation, we would be able to serve up to 900 veterans, 5 meals a week, each year that the bill covers. And we're looking to, looking at this as kind of as a pilot project too. So the initial initiative will take place in the Twin Cities metro area, and hopefully continue to gain support so that we can expand it statewide. Thank you, Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Rowan. I don't know if Ben Johnson was standing by for advice, or did you have testimony?
I endorse it.
Right. So members, any questions of either the testifier or Senator? Senator Wieger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Lopez Franzen, for the initiative. The testimony indicated that this could be a pilot perhaps and then go to Greater Minnesota. I'm wondering if, in addition to the appropriation, we might look at some money in the pilot to go to Greater Minnesota for this rollout as well. Whatever the counterpart or the organization would be that it would go to, but as this travels further, I assume the need would go beyond the Twin Cities.
Mr. Chair and Senator Wieger, thank you for that. It's above my pay rate. We can talk to the organization, but my understanding is that they do have basically where they prepare the food in locations in the metro, and I think that's why the convenience of starting here, but I can see, obviously the need is there. It's a question of logistics, and I believe that's part of why it's starting the way it is in this pilot program, but if anyone else wants to comment on the organization side, I defer to them.
Senator,
but certainly would be completely open to that.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Lopez Franzen, maybe the testifier could amplify further. Is Meals on Wheels, would that be the only organization? Perhaps there's another group in Greater Minnesota. Again, I wholeheartedly support your proposal, but thinking beyond the border here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one last thing too, Mr. Chair, is that the author in the House as well, Senator Representative Edelson, and also Representative Eklund, who's a rural member as well, is very much involved in this bill. So we will take that comment and hopefully make some changes and adjustments as need be.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Lopez-Franson, when it says Metro, Metro Meals, is that, because I hear so many times in the legislature, we talk about Metro, but we either say 7-county Metro, or sometimes it's 13-county Metro. And I'm just trying to get my arms around, is what do you mean by Metro Wheels?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's the name of the organization. So,
I see.
Yes.
Okay. I thought maybe there was a specific territory that it covers. So thank you.
Members, any additional questions? Well, I can tell you that usually when we have a fairly renowned organization, you know, represented here in a bill, that it makes it a lot easier. We don't have a whole lot of substantial questions because Meals on Wheels has such a good reputation, and it just makes it that much easier for the committee. So with that, I believe, let's see where we are on the list. Senator Anderson, would you like to? Oh, this is going to be laid over. Okay. Easier yet, Senator. I appreciate you having for us. With that, the Senate file 2933 as amended will be laid over.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for your service.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is Senate file 3875. I'm going to be stepping down from the gavel. I will hand that over to Senator Anderson. And I will move myself.
Members, 3875, Senate file 3875 is before us, and I believe there was a possible amendment. Welcome to the committee, Senator Lang. That you aren't already here, but.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This is the, I guess it's a culmination of many years of work and hopefully a capstone to the veterans' homes. We've had a couple of bills today that are kind of the final spending segments. Senate file 3875 is a portion of that. I do have a amendment somewhere placed here if I can find it, Mr. Chair.
Actually, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, Mr. Erickson.
If it's okay, I think it's simple enough to do orally if you'd like, Senator Lang.
Yep, absolutely.
It's simply on line 1.6, delete 2023 and insert 2022. To me, this looks like a bill where the money needs to be available immediately. The effective date is an immediate effective date. So having the appropriation available not until July 1st doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I believe with the homes, you want the money as quickly as possible. So
that's correct.
I think you want 2022 to replace 2023 on line 1.6.
So members, Mr. Erickson explained on line 1.6 of Senate file 3875, an oral amendment of changing 2023 to 2022. Any discussion on that? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The oral amendment is adopted. Senator Lang, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The Senate file 3875 is, like I said, the capstone. So this is FFE, and we love using acronyms here in this room. Fixtures, furnitures, and equipment, right? So all the, you can see within the bill right here is the design, construct, furnish, equip the veterans home in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. So it's a fairly simple bill. This is gonna be, this money will be used to buy chairs, to buy tables, to buy hopefully a comfy sofa, things like that that would finish out and put a little shine on the building. So with that, I would take any questions.
Members, are there any questions for Senator Lang? I don't see any. Mr. Johnson, welcome to committee. If you'd identify yourself, just give us some background on this. Appreciate it, Ben.
Yes, Chair Anderson, senators, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Ben Johnson. I'm the legislative director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Thank you, Senator, for carrying this bill. We very much appreciate it. this is an opportunity to finish, as the senator said, the three new veterans homes being constructed in Greater Minnesota. This is funding in addition to the Senator Miller bill that we heard first this morning. And as Senator Lang points out, these are items that are necessary to fill out the home and get it open. At this point, MDVA is, as mentioned earlier, about 20%+ complete at all three locations. Funding in this bill would allow us to fill out the rooms with beds, things like chairlifts, but also weight scales, things for doing the job. We cannot open these homes without this funding. We are at a position now where the agency is willing to fund as necessary out of our operational budget. We've notified the legislature of that reality. But again, and thank you for Mr. Erickson for that amendment and for Senator Lang for the amendment as soon as possible to continue this progress so that we can open these and begin filling them with new residents. Happy to stand for any questions, Chair.
Members, any questions for Mr. Erickson? Senator Duckworth.
Mr. Chair, please. So I apologize. I'm playing a little bit of catch up on some of the different projects that are occurring throughout the state, being a newer member to the Senate. Could you just give me a sense of what kind of timeline typically is involved with something like this? If we're to pass it, this money gets appropriated, how quickly is it going to be able to be impactful in these areas where we're hoping to serve our veterans?
Mr. Johnson.
Chair Anderson, Senator Duckworth, thank you for the question. Timeline is essentially, we are, if you look on the MDVA website, you can see the progress at all three locations. We've got cameras on site with the construction partners. And you can get a live stream of what is currently going on. All three have the exterior skins going on. You can see the full structure. Preston, as was mentioned, already has some roof going on it. That's the earlier request was for things like sealed seam steel roofs, which we're at a point now where if we don't move quickly, that portion of construction will have passed by. In this case, we are looking at continuing to fill out the structures. Starting this summer, we will begin the process of hiring administrators, hiring directors of nursing, looking at filling out from the community ranks our employment. That will be the next key, I don't want to call it a struggle, but the next key challenge, especially with the healthcare industry, challenged as it is with COVID. And we will begin the process of hiring, and the plan is to begin opening these about 18 months from now. We will begin admitting residents, we'll go through the process of certification with the federal VA and the Department of Health in Minnesota. And once we have that full certification, then we'll be able to get them up to their full bed capacity. The key component here is that we will begin encumbering these funds as soon as, God willing, they're appropriated, whether it be through the governor's capital investment, general obligation bond, or through a general fund appropriation. Begin encumbering these to continue the process of purchasing the equipment, furnitures, fixtures, and equipment, as was referenced, to fill into these homes. So obviously a building looks more complete than it is when the skin is on and the roof is on. But given the timeline and supply chain challenges we've faced recently, the sooner we can begin encumbering these funds, the better. I hope that answers your question, sir.
Senator Duckworth, follow.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. It does. I appreciate that. If you could expand upon for us too, why it's so important that if we're going to fund these, we do them sooner rather than later. I'm sure as you go out to bids or things of that nature, we're seeing changes in prices as well as the cost of labor increase pretty rapidly. So could you help us understand how that could impact these projects and the funds that we're appropriating for them?
Mr. Johnson.
Chair, Senator, thank you again for the question. And the question, what was the answer? It really is an issue of timeliness, and the more quickly that we can lock in current prices on equipment, the better. The reality is that we are competing with a very large construction sector because there is a lot of money available. We want to be in a position to, as the state appropriates funds for this, that we can then begin competing for those contracts. In this case, it would be, again, furniture, fixtures, and equipment. So it's not, we don't have to line up anything beyond vendors and begin that process of contracting and purchasing. But that's no small task either, sir.
Senator Duckworth, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, other questions for Mr. Johnson or for Senator Lang? Oh, Senator, Mr. Johnson, I hope that when you put those metal roofs on that building that you have insulation underneath them so that you don't hear the hail when it comes down, banging. So I know that I've got some friends in the construction industry who put on metal roofs, and there's always a complaint. So just comment, that's all I'm putting out there. Any other questions or comments? Senator Lang, it's your bill, and it's been amended, and it's in your hands at this time for final comments.
Well, I don't really have any final comments, Senator and members. This is a, Mr. Chair and members, this is a pretty straightforward, let's finish these projects. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would move that, I would move Senate file 3875.
Senator Lang moves at 3695, is that right? 3875 be recommended as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the Finance Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Your bill is passed and on the way to Finance. Thank you, Senator Lang. Senator Lang has another bill up on. Senate File 4233. Senator Lang, to your bill, I think you might have an amendment to this bill also. But.
That is correct, Mr. Chair. I don't know who would like to explain that, if you'd like to explain it, or I'd like to explain it, or Andrew.
This, maybe Mr. Erickson can
this
explain
is, it. Members, bear with us as we've been trying to work with the department as good as we can over the last few weeks and trying to respond to budget requests and adapt and overcome, as Mr. Raisinen has been jumping through some hoops the last few days. So this is our effort to do so. So bear with us as we amend this bill.
Senator, Mr. Erickson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Lang, I think you're looking for the A2, and I'm emailing that to the committee right now. I'll explain it while it's popping into your email inboxes. I believe you all have the A1 in your packets. Which simply adds $2 million in the second year to the enlistment incentives program. The amendment that is coming around adds to the amendment you can see on paper in front of you simply by setting a base in the tails consistent with a $2 million investment in each biennium.
So members, we have the A1 amendment before us. Any comments or questions to the A1 amendment?
Excuse me, the A2. The A1 is printed in front of you, but I think it's the A2 that's okay. Being offered, and that should land in your email inboxes.
Okay, we do have the A2 amendment right in front of us. So.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep. So Senator Lang offers the A2 amendment. Any comments or questions to the A2 amendment? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. A2 amendments before us on the bill. Senator Lang, to your bill.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, the enlistment Senate incentive program has been something that has kind of been on the forefront of our discussion since the beginning of session. We have intended on funding it, and I believe that the governor's office is now amendable to that, as I think the terminology should probably be using. So members, with that being said, here's the enlistment incentive dollar value. So this is the A2. Yep. That's the.
So Mr. Lang, Senator Lang, this is that was a delete all amendment that we put on there. You have a testifier, Mr. Kerr.
So
Mr. Kerr, would you like to identify yourself?
I believe Mr. Kerr would be the more eloquent speaker as far as the vehicle correct. Bill we find ourselves using now to right. Get the enlistment incentives across the finish line, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kerr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Don Kerr. I'm the Executive Director of the Department of Military Affairs. And this is something I think I talked about. In fact, in response to your question, Senator Anderson, the agency had been looking at a potential request for an increase in the enlistment incentives appropriation. And we did get our math done and make the adequate argument to those that had to be convinced, and we were allowed to add this as part of the second supplemental budget request that the governor's office put out, the revised supplemental budget. And it is obviously our enlistment incentives appropriation is very important to us. It's the number one tool that we have for enlisting soldiers and airmen into the Minnesota National Guard and in retaining them, because it's the same pot of money we use for the reenlistment bonuses And we know that right now, it's a very challenging time in the recruiting environment. That's caused us to amp up a lot of pressure on our unit commanders to work on retaining the service members that we have and also to enlisting new team members. So we appreciate the committee allowing us to take this action and understand the prioritization and support it, and would appreciate the committee's support.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Any questions? Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Kerr, and I think I just heard you say this, but I want to make just make sure. So when we see enlistment incentives, sometimes we think it's just for the purposes of attracting brand new people to the service. But what you're saying is it can be used for not only that, but also to retain the great soldiers that we currently have in our ranks as well. Am I understanding that correctly?
Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duckworth, that's correct. We have a number of bonuses that are authorized inside the enlistment incentives appropriation, including reenlistment bonuses, but also a reclassification bonus that actually Senator Anderson carried for us a number of years ago that's been very successful in allowing us to take service members who are currently qualified in one specialty and transitioning into another highly valuable specialty that's sometimes very difficult to recruit to. So we use funds from the enlistment incentives appropriation for those bonuses in addition to the state tuition reimbursement program. State tuition reimbursement is by far the largest portion of that, but we also provide bonuses to our medics to maintain their certification. And that's $1,000 a year for a medic to maintain their certification, which is very important to us because it's very difficult to regain their certification once they lose it. So a strong incentive for them to maintain that qualification. And of course that improves the readiness of the Minnesota National Guard.
Follow up?
No, very good, thank you.
Senator Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Kerr, I thought, you know, it was a holistic health and fitness program. You were going to be leading us in calisthenics. But instead, you've done some gymnastics here, attaching enlistment bonus to holistic health. So congratulations.
Senator Kerr, Mr. Kerr, any comments?
Well, Senator, we could do a little PT after this if you want to. I have some open time on my calendar. I used to do that from time to time.
Any other comments for Mr. Kerr or Senator Lang? Well, final comments on Senate File 4233 as amended. Senator Lang?
Well, Mr. Chair and members, I guess the only comments I would really make, and I would reiterate Mr. Kerr, I just said that last couple of years, but really the last year has been a challenge. Some of the numbers I've seen as far as reenlistment are the lowest I've ever seen them. It's concerning at my level within the National Guard to see those numbers that low, to lose 16-year members to retirement or not to retirement. They just walked away at 16 years. Happened multiple times. It's concerning. We can make a quick reaction in this circumstance to try and stop some of that so we can retain our, like Senator Duckworth, our valued service members. And this is a step to do that. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate File 4233 as amended.
Senator Lang moves that Senate File 4233 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. You're on your way, Senator Lang, and I will pass the gavel back over to you for the next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I think we have Senator Colossus, if I'm not mistaken.
Good morning, Senator Claussen. I believe you have Senate File 4092 for us this morning. I thought it was going to take a little longer to get you, so I hope you appreciate our speed and efficiency in this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're just fine.
So, Senator Claussen, to your bill, please.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Really appreciate the opportunity to present Senate File 4092. It's a proposal allowing the exchange of land between Minnesota National Guard and the city of Rosemont. I do have an oral amendment, Mr. Chair.
I believe, is it oral? Okay, go ahead with that amendment, Senator Claussen.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I would like to have to have the council please reference the amendment or
Mr. Erickson.
Mr. Chair, members,
Ms. White.
Page one after line 12, insert this section is effective the day following final enactment. So it's just includes an immediate effective date.
Mr. Chair, could she repeat that one more time?
Just is the mic on? There you go.
Page one after line 12, insert this section is effective the day following final enactment.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Members, the oral amendment offered by, well, Senator Anderson would offer the oral amendment.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
That line 13 would be added, correct? That this section is effective the day following the final enactment. All those in favor of the oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Your Senate file 4092 is amended as requested. So thank you,
Mr. Chair. A little bit about the bill. The Rosemont Readiness Center is over 30 years old and includes a field maintenance shop that's located less than 1 mile from the main Rosemont facility. The city of Rosemont over those 30 years has grown and is in need of an expanded and updated public safety and public works facility. And to accommodate this need, the city of Rosemont, the Adjutant General's office, have agreed to a land exchange for city property near the Flint Hills refinery facility, which will meet the future needs of the guard and the city. We do have a testifier, Mr. Kerr, and if we could have his testimony, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, I'm Don Kerr, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. And about 10 years ago, when General Nash was the Adjutant General at the time, City of Rosemont came to us with a proposal to add a public safety facility. And when we bought the land to build our field maintenance shop, the plat that was available was larger than was absolutely necessary per federal standard. And so we bought the larger plat and were able to build on about half of that. So right now it's a farm field in what used to be the edge of Rosemont, but is now kind of the middle of Rosemont, right in the middle of the residential area has really blossomed around it. Which creates part of our challenge here. So the Adjutant General has the authority in Minnesota Statute 19336 to sell land, and a land exchange is considered a sale. But the statute is very vague. And as we worked with our council to try to make sure that we were dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, they recommended that we come to the legislature for specific language. And in that process, we identified a constitutional requirement that an exchange of land has to be approved by the State Land Exchange Board, which no one knew existed unless I guess you're on the Land Exchange Board. The Land Exchange Board is the constitutional officers of the state, and they meet on a quarterly basis. And so they do routinely approve or disapprove these exchanges of land. Normally the DNR is leading that fight. And so we did consult with the DNR and noted that there's a requirement in statute under Minnesota Statute 93.3495 that requires that the properties be of equal value, not necessarily equal in acreage. And because of the residential growth in Rosemont around our facility, the property value of that acreage is skyrocketing. From the agency's perspective, we actually feel that the land near to County 52 with a secure perimeter on all sides, the Coke refinery, and good access to 52 is actually more valuable for our needs. And so the equal acreage swap, and we're very interested in acreage because we have a minimum land size that we have to meet the federal requirements that we have to use if we're gonna build anything. So we don't have a plan right now to build anything there necessarily. We've got a couple of thoughts in mind about something we might do 50 years from now, but they aren't making land anymore, except for the Chinese a little bit out in the Pacific. And so having it for the future reference, we feel is the right thing to do for the taxpayers in Minnesota, because we did spend state dollars to buy that land originally, and feel that passing this bill will show clear intent to the Land Exchange Board that we have legislative approval for this swap. And it also is the most transparent way we felt we could move forward so that it doesn't appear to be any shenanigans. We think it's a value added for the city of Rosemont and a value added for the Minnesota National Guard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kerr. Members, any questions? I appreciate the Senator Newton.
It's probably it goes without saying, but I'm assuming the city of Rosemont agrees with this.
Mr. Chair, Senator, they do agree.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Kerr. I appreciate the detail because I was a little not opposed to it by any means, but just curious as to how this all worked out. So I appreciate the details. So any other questions, members? Yeah. Senator Newton, would you like to move the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate File 4092 for possible inclusion.
To the floor. So member Senator Newton moves that Senate File 4092 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to general orders. All those.
Question?
Senator Rieger.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think anyone on the planet is opposed to this, and recognizing we do have the consent calendar and it's used for legislative efficiency. And it's up to you, I guess, as to whether it would go to the consent calendar, and that if it was on the consent calendar, one person could remove it. Just as someone that would appreciate efficiency getting to resolution on whatever we can this session, maybe this could go to the consent calendar.
Can we do that after the fact? I don't have a good answer for you, Senator Rieger. As of right now, what I can do is we can send it to general orders and then...
special order.
Right. And then after the fact, if that we can make a motion to re-refer to, if Senator Claussen is okay with that. So as of right now, the motion remains stated as stated, and we'll be voting on the Senator Newton to restate that motion. Senator Newton moves that Senate File 4092 be recommended to pass and sent to general orders. All those in favor, as amended. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
As opposed, nay. Senator Newton, you're to the floor as of right now.
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. Thank you, committee members, and a special thank you to Mr. Kerr for that explanation. You never realized how involved such a land change could be in state statutes. So I appreciate his expertise. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Members, as of right now, we have nothing else on the agenda. Just for planning purposes, we do have a couple bills up next week, Thursday. We'll probably publish the agenda Monday or Tuesday, maybe by Monday. So as of right now, there's nothing further on the agenda. So the Senate Veterans Committee is adjourned.